God calls us to open our hearts to this holy presence. We say, breathe on us, O breath of God. Fill us with the hope that only you can give. Wake us up to your presence and open our ears to hear the word you have for us this day.
A place of love, a place of hope, a place of inspiration, a place where all are welcome. America's oldest Protestant congregation, founded in 1628, Marble Collegiate Church, and our senior minister, Dr. Michael Brown, welcome you to Simple Faith.
The scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verses 15 through 19. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. This is what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, if I hear the voice of the Lord my God anymore, or ever again see this great fire, I will die. Then the Lord replied to me, they are right in what they have said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet, who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words that the prophet shall speak in my name, I myself will hold accountable. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, will you pray with me? Gracious God, as we enter this time to share your word, let it be your word that continues to flow through each one of us who proclaims your word today. Let it be your words that continue to be proclaimed through me. Amen. So, as you might have noticed, the topic of today's sermon is modern-day prophets. And the scripture I just read actually spoke to this whole idea of what a prophet was supposed to be. And I will give us a little bit of a background, a little bit of the backdrop story on the scripture I just read. The conversation that's going on in Deuteronomy, in the chapter I just read, was a conversation that Moses was having. So Deuteronomy is part of those first five books of the Old Testament. And it starts in Genesis, as you know, and it ends up in Deuteronomy. Prior to Deuteronomy, the activities that are taking place there, we've had the Israelites being subjected to captivity in Egypt. And we've heard God call Moses as a prophet to lead them out of slavery into what God has said will be the promised land of freedom for them. But at this point in Deuteronomy, Moses is standing right outside of that promised land. But he's not going to make it into that promised land with the Israelites. He's not. And what God is saying to Moses here is that, I know you're not going to make it into that promised land with the Israelites whom I called you to bring forth out of slavery into the promised land, but what I am going to do is to raise up someone else who will take your place and be a prophet and be my voice, be my mouthpiece for the Israelites. Now it turns out that mouthpiece of God was Joshua. Now, the important thing to note here from this particular chapter, because there are a number of things you can take away from different chapter verses that you read throughout the Bible. But what I'm hoping that we're going to take away today is this idea that a prophet is someone who can communicate on behalf of another, and that a prophet is someone who is likely raised from amongst the people for whom the message is intended. In this case, Joshua was being raised as a prophet from amongst the Israelites, the people with whom he had traveled over many years on their journey to the promised land. Now, prophets thousands of years ago came with great responsibilities. And they came with great responsibilities because they were expected to proclaim a message that wasn't necessarily what the recipients of those messages wanted to hear. That was the case for Joshua as the newly raised prophet. God was going to say to him the framework of laws, the framework of behavior that he wanted the Israelites to abide by as they moved into this new land of freedom, this land of Canaan. It wasn't necessarily a message that those Israelites were going to want to hear, but God wanted to use someone who was familiar with their situations, who was familiar with who they were, to actually bring that word to them. Now, as long as I can remember, and throughout the centuries, we have seen that this whole idea of raising a voice on behalf of another has continued to be important. And it's something that has been recognized over time. Now, if you were here a few weeks ago, if you were in the sanctuary for our gospel choir concert, that gospel choir concert was really to honor someone who raised their voice on behalf of others. It was a gospel concert that was supposed to honor the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King. We're also about to enter February, and in February, we know that's going to be Black History Month. And that's a time when we're also going to honor Black men and women who spoke up and raised their voices on behalf of others. During that month, we're going to be honoring women like Sojourner Truth, and we're going to be honoring women like Rosa Parks. And we can also just in our general community of people that we know who have done great things, who have raised their voices on behalf of others, we know that there are people out there that, like Mother Teresa, who was a voice for the poor. And we know that there are other people out there like Nelson Mandela, who raised his voice on behalf of a disenfranchised group of people in South Africa. Now, the prophetic voice can be raised in many different ways. All of these people that I just mentioned raise their voices in very different ways. But one of the important things that we see as a common denominator amongst all of these people is that they raise their voices from within the communities that they lived at some point or another. And they did it in different ways. Dr. Martin Luther King was a wonderful orator. He was a preacher. So he could raise his voice by preaching and bringing attention to a system that was fraught with inequality. Rosa Parks was able to raise her voice by taking a simple action, by sitting down in a bus and refusing to move. That's how she raised her voice. Nelson Mandela raised his voice as well. He could speak, and he did that on numerous occasions. But we also know that Nelson Mandela also was imprisoned for many years. And in that way, that was symbolic of him raising his voice on behalf of a group of people who needed to hear his voice being raised on their behalf. Now we move forward to the times that we're in. We're in the 21st century. And there are lots of things going on that makes it necessary for our voices to continue to be raised on behalf of others. Now, just last week, Wednesday, and I think it's Wednesday, when I turned on my television, I was shocked and appalled to discover that, and this had been in the news for probably at least a couple of weeks, but I hadn't been paying attention. So peripherally, I was aware of this story. But last Wednesday, the full force of what that story meant became fully aware to me. And I turned on my television and I heard about this doctor who had abused the position of privilege that was given to him. A doctor that was supposed to care for Olympians, young women who were placed in his care, and he had abused that privilege. And we're told that at the end of that trial, he was sentenced to, I believe, over 175 years in prison, noting the gravity of what he had done. But we're also told that 150 young women came forth and testified about the abuse that they had suffered. And as I continued to watch news programs later that night, some of the questions that were asked were, why didn't someone raise their voice on behalf of these young women? How is it possible that no one knew that there was this problem and that these women needed a voice to bring their issues to the fore so that something could be done? Here was a modern-day incident, because for two decades, this abuse was allowed to continue. And here was a modern-day incident where it would have been lovely if someone else had raised their voice on behalf of these young women. And last Thursday, I was privileged, on the recommendation of Dr. Elise Brown, as a matter of fact, I was privileged to attend a gathering of clergy at Hunter College, at a gathering that was hosted by the mayor of New York City, the mayor's office. And that gathering was intended to honor survivors of human trafficking. But not only was it intended to honor women who had survived human trafficking in New York City, by the way, but it was also intended to shine a light so that we can raise our voices on the atrocities of human trafficking that is taking place right here in New York City. What I learned during that gathering is that the United States is probably at the top of the list in being a receptacle for women who have been subject to this human trafficking atrocity. That the United States is one of the largest receptacles of such women, and actually also men. What I also learned as well is that New York City is also at the top of the list as a receptacle for these people who are subject to human trafficking. And that's alarming. One of the stories that I heard at that gathering that day was from a young woman who was only 21 years old. And she was a survivor, and she shared her story. And her story was alarming for me to listen to. And what that young lady shared is that at the age of 12, she and her friend had gone to the local neighborhood cinema, the theater, movie theater. They had gone to see a movie. After the movie, they connected with some boys from the neighborhood who were a little older. They were about 16 years old. And those boys invited them back to their apartment to sit and relax. But what happened to that young lady was something that changed her entire life. What she reported at that gathering that we had is that she woke up the next morning, realized that she had completely passed out. Whatever she had been given to drink, that she was completely passed out from that. And that single incident, whatever happened that night, led her into this dark world of human trafficking, because she was never able to go back home. She became someone who was human trafficked. Now, the silver lining on this story is that today, this young woman is a survivor, and she's in college. And she's raising her voice on behalf of other women who are just like her, who have been subjected to this atrocity. But she was able to become a survivor because someone in the community raised a voice on her behalf. Someone in the community raised a voice on her behalf and made it possible for her to become a survivor. Now, we have a very good example of what it means to be a modern-day prophet. So a prophet is supposed to be a messenger who brings God's word forward. In our society today, and this is a message, a tagline that I hear from the UCC, and we're now half and half with the UCC, God is still speaking. As modern-day prophets, God is still speaking through each and every one of us. And God has given us a responsibility to allow his words, to allow his voice to continue to be raised in communities in which we live. Jesus was a perfect example of a modern-day prophet. Not modern-day prophet, but an example of what a modern-day prophet should be. And Jesus did this not only by raising his voice, but he did this through his actions repeatedly, over and over and over again. So we're heading into the period of Lent, right? So during that time, you really are going to hear all about, from this pulpit, you're going to hear all about the life of Jesus Christ. Well, the life of Jesus Christ was really about him raising his voice on behalf of people who needed to have a voice raised on their behalf. So there is a great example of what it means to raise our voices on behalf of others, to be modern-day prophets in this world. And as I was writing my sermon, I thought to myself, you know, we're also in a few weeks, we're going to be having our Easter offering. We're going to be taking up monies for our Easter offering. And as we have done year after year after year, those monies are going to go towards organizations that are working to make a difference in the lives of people who need to have voices raised on their behalf. So through that effort, through your gifts to us for that Easter offering over the years, you have been raising your voice and speaking to issues that were important to you and that made a difference in the life of others who needed that. I think one of the things I said up front is that the way you can raise your voice as a modern-day prophet can be done in different ways. Sometimes it can be through your actions. Sometimes it can be you audibly speaking it out loud. But one of the wonderful things is about the way this whole movement, and I call it a movement of raising our voices on behalf of the others, have unfolded. It has brought to the fore a whole new language, a whole new vernacular, right? And a whole new vernacular that really has become part of what we call our urban dictionary. And I want to share three of those messages that have come out of this movement to raise our voices on behalf of others. One of the ones that probably came, I think, to the fore probably about 10 or maybe 15 years ago, I'm not quite sure. But you guys have heard this message, see something, say something. Now that message came out of the terrorist attacks that were happening within our communities. The Department of Homeland Security decided this is such a big problem. We need to come up with a message that can be put out there that everyone can hear and that is going to be on the forefront of their minds when they're moving around in different circles to remember that if they see something odd that potentially could hurt their fellow citizens, that they will say something. See something, say something. The other message that has come out within the last 5 or 6 years or so is this expression called stay woke. And I remember when I first heard that, I thought, stay woke? What does that mean? Well, stay woke really means that we have to stay alert and vigilant and be really keeping our eyes and ears open for the injustices that are taking place within our communities. And that phrase, stay woke, which is in our urban dictionary now, came as a result of the perceived abuses that were happening in our inner cities amongst the police and local residents. And the final expression that I want to raise for you, and this, everyone will know this one because it's happening right now, it's out there right now. We've all heard of this Me Too movement. And what that Me Too movement has done is created, as a result of that, we now have this expression that says, time's up. Well, the reality is, when you raise your prophetic voice about anything, any injustices that are going on in our communities, you are really saying, time's up. That's what you're saying. So do we still need to continue to be vigilant, and do we still need to continue to be modern-day prophets and allow God to speak through us? I think the answer to that is probably yes. It is as important as it was thousands of years ago as it is today. Raising our voices is one of those ways in which God can continue to speak through us. Because I tell you, when we're silent, or when we're forced into silence, it creates a space where evil can creep in and take hold and wrap itself around our communities and create havoc, create pain. So we don't want to stay silent. We want to raise our voices as modern-day prophets who can speak on behalf of others who are afraid and feel like they can't raise their voices. They feel isolated and they feel lonely because they think that no one's going to believe them if they share whatever atrocity they are experiencing at that time. And I have to say that I can't help but think that the God of Moses, the God who made Moses a prophet, and the God who became incarnate in Jesus Christ and allowed Jesus Christ to walk this world in which we now live and show us what it means to raise our voices in different ways on behalf of others. I can't help but think that that God is looking down and smiling. He's smiling because over the centuries, as it is very relevant now, to be a modern-day prophet, to raise our voices on behalf of others who need to have our voices spoken on their behalf. God is smiling because this Time's Up movement is really about saying, no more, no more, and yes, time's up. Amen. Let us go forth into the world, and wherever you may feel that God is calling you, be a modern-day prophet. Raise your voice on behalf of someone who is afraid to do so on their own, and continue to allow God to speak through you. Amen.